Chapter 14 Nuisance Bears.
"You kids are trespassing on Spooner property," the man with the gun said. "It's within my legal rights to shoot you."
Melissa spoke in a voice that was surprisingly calm given the circumstances.
"We were only looking in the garbage, Jericho, on this side of the fence. We didn't set foot on the Spooner's property."
"The garbage shed is the property," said Jericho.
He then pursed his lips as a question occurred to him.
"What are you poking around in the garbage for?"
"Sasquatch got into our house last night," Melissa began.
"Yeah, I heard that," Jericho told her. "What's that have to do with us?"
"Sasquatch also tried to get into your garbage last night."
Evan's voice was much shakier than his sister's, betraying how nervous he was.
"Because there's bear bait in it."
Jericho's gaze grew even angrier.
"No, there's not."
"Come and see for yourself," Summer told him. "There's wrappers from hamburger meat and empty jugs of vanilla extract in there."
"It's not ours."
Jericho made no attempt to confirm whether or not what Summer had told him was even true. He stayed right where he was, the shotgun still trained on us.
"Someone else must have dumped it there. Maybe you."
"Us?"
Evan asked, surprised.
"Yeah," Jericho said menacingly. "Maybe that's what all of you were doing right now. Messing around with the garbage. Dumping your trash in our bins."
"It was already here," I tried to explain. "In fact, it was definitely here last night, because Sasquatch tried to get into your shed last night. Come see if you want."
Since Jericho was on the ranch, he was looking at the opposite side of the garbage shed than we were, so he couldn't see the damage that Sasquatch had done. And yet, he still didn't move. Instead, he fixed his angry stare on me.
"I haven't seen you before. You look like trouble to me, and I don't like trouble."
The tone of his voice, along with his accusing stare, unsettled me. I noticed that Summer was uneasy as well. Thankfully, at that moment, a black SUV came down the driveway, diverting Jericho's attention. The SUV looked brand new and appeared to have been freshly washed, even though it was impossible to go 10 feet on the dirt roads without getting dusty. Jericho lowered his shotgun as the SUV approached, but didn't stow it. Instead, he kept it cradled in his hands, ready to use it at a moment's notice. The SUV stopped close to Jericho, on the other side of the gates, and the driver and passenger hopped out. They appeared to be in their 30s and were dressed in the same sort of clothes that everyone in the area wore, jeans, boots, and cowboy hats, although theirs looked much newer, like they had just bought them the day before. Their hats matched the color of their cowboy boots. The man, who had been driving, wore black, while his wife, who had been in the passenger seat, wore baby blue. They looked less like ranchers than people who were pretending to be ranchers. Still, both were a lot friendlier than Jericho, which was a relief. They flashed big, cordial smiles and waved to us.
"Hey, Melissa," the woman called out. "Hey, Evan."
"Hey, Mrs. Spooner," both said.
"What's going on here?"
Mr. Spooner asked Jericho.
"These kids were messing around with your garbage," Jericho reported.
"I don't know if that's any reason to turn a gun on them," Mrs. Spooner said.
"You can never be too vigilant where trespassing is concerned," Jericho replied.
"We weren't trying to cause any trouble," Melissa told the Spooners. "We just found evidence that Sasquatch was trying to get into your garbage before he came to our place last night. There's meat wrappers and vanilla extract in there."
The Spooners' friendly smiles faded and were replaced with looks of concern. Mr. Spooner clicked a fob on his car keys, and the big iron gates slowly swung open. The Spooners came out through them to examine their garbage shed. Jericho stayed put. He hadn't taken a single step since we first saw him. The Spooners both gaped in astonishment when they saw the damage to their shed.
"Jeez Louise," Mrs. Spooner said. "He really went to town on this."
Mr. Spooner hurried over to look inside the garbage cans. He saw the evidence, then called out to Jericho.
"Do you know anything about this?"
"No," Jericho answered. "Oh, maybe you should ask the kids about it. They were poking around in the garbage when I got here."
"I'm sure they didn't mean any harm."
Mrs. Spooner started to look embarrassed about Jericho's behavior. She shifted her attention to Summer and me.
"We haven't met yet. I'm Taffy Spooner, and this is Ike."
"Hey,"
Ike said, extending his hand. I shook it.
"I'm Teddy."
"And I'm Summer."
Summer flashed a pleasant smile. Recognition flashed across Taffy's face. I could see her trying to decide if she should admit she knew who Summer was or try to pretend like she didn't. She ultimately chose the second option and then lowered her voice so that Jericho wouldn't hear her.
"Sorry about Jericho. He runs the ranch for us and, well, he can be a little overzealous when it comes to protecting the place."
"We bought this property about a year ago," Ike said. "I'd been working in Los Angeles for the past 15 years. Hedge funds, investments, that kind of stuff. But Taffy and I had always loved it here. So one day we heard this place was up for grabs and decided to take the plunge. And just like that, we were ranchers. Only neither of us really knew what we were doing. While Jericho kind of came with the property."
"Ike," Taffy exclaimed, "you're making it sound like Jericho was an appliance."
She looked to us.
"He worked for the old owners, so it made sense to keep him on."
Ike asked Melissa and Evan, "How's everything going at your place after this morning?"
"All right, I guess," Melissa replied. "It's a miracle no one got hurt," Taffy said. "I hope Sasquatch didn't come to your home because of what was in our garbage. But I swear to you, we didn't know anything about this. Someone else must have dumped it there."
"Taffy's right," Ike agreed. "We never even bring our garbage down here until trash day, and that's 3 days from now. All our stuff is locked up by the house."
I understood why that would be. The Krautheimers had the same setup. No one wanted to run the garbage all the way out to the main road every time they had some, so they had another bear-proof shed closer to their house. Then, on trash days, they would bring everything to the road at once so that the garbage trucks could pick it up. In the meantime, it would be easy for anyone passing by to drop the bear bait into their garbage bins. While the sheds had latches, they weren't locked. The garbage collectors needed to be able to open them. I said,
"Since this road leads to public land, maybe someone's been baiting bears down there, and they dumped the garbage on the way out."
Everyone considered that.
"Could be," Ike admitted.
"We should alert the police," Taffy said, "or the Park Service, or Fish and Wildlife, whoever's responsible for protecting the bears around here. If someone's baiting, that could cause a whole lot of trouble."
"It already caused trouble," Evan reminded her. "Last night."
Ike nodded.
"Has there been any talk at your place about relocating Sasquatch?"
"Relocating?" Summer asked. "You mean, like, moving the bear?"
"Right," Melissa agreed. "Every now and then, a bear gets habituated to humans, usually because people keep leaving garbage where the bear can get to it. And that can obviously be dangerous. So, sometimes the government tries to relocate the bears. They dart them, then drive them a couple hundred miles away and release them into the wild."
"But a lot of the time it doesn't work," Evan added.
"We've had a couple habituated bears in West Yellowstone. The Forest Service will take them 100 miles away and the bears will come right back. A couple days later, they're right back in town. They call those nuisance bears."
"So what happens to them?" Summer asked.
"Sometimes they end up in captivity," Melissa said. "There's a place in West Yellowstone that has some nuisance bears for tourists to see, and others have been sent to zoos. But if they can't find a place for them, Well,
she trailed off ominously.
They kill them? Summer gasped. No one wants to do that, Taffy said, but sometimes there's no choice. What happens if a bear as big as Sasquatch becomes a nuisance? He's already broken into the Krautheimer's home. What if he starts breaking into others? I love the bears, but I don't want to find Sasquatch in my bedroom.
So you haven't had any incidents with Sasquatch? I asked. He hasn't been on your property?
Not that I know of, Ike said, except for this.
He pointed at the garbage shed, then called to Jericho.
You haven't seen him, have you?
Jericho shook his head. He still hadn't moved, and his face was locked in a scowl, which made me think that maybe he wasn't being honest. Taffy looked at her watch and made a little gasp.
Ike, we're going to be late, she said.
Ike looked at his watch as well, then returned his attention to us.
It was nice meeting you, kids. You guys need a ride back to your place?
We're okay, thanks, Evan said.
All right, then.
Ike started back through the gate toward his SUV. Taffy said,
I hope the rest of your vacation is less eventful than last night.
Before they got back in the SUV, Ike stopped to speak to Jericho. They were too far for us to hear them, but it looked like maybe Ike was telling Jericho he shouldn't be aiming his gun at the neighbor's kids. Or maybe they were more concerned about him aiming it at Summer, given that she was famous and had thousands of followers on social media. Whatever the case, Jericho didn't seem pleased. He gave them a curt nod, then turned and stalked back up the driveway. The Spooners got into their SUV and drove off, giving us a goodbye honk and wave before they headed down the dirt road toward town.
They seem nice, Summer said. They are, Melissa said,
although Evan gave a noncommittal grunt. Melissa looked to him.
What's your problem with the Spooners?
They're so L.A., he said. They made a whole bunch of money there, then think they can just move out here and start ranching, like it's easy. They don't know anything about this business at all.
And you do? Melissa asked pointedly. At least they're trying to ranch. They could have carved up this whole property into subdivisions, and then we'd have thousands of people living right next door to us. That'd be a million times worse.
I guess, Evan said begrudgingly. Then he looked off into the distance and said,
Taffy wasn't really telling the truth when she said no one wants to kill the nuisance bears. Lots of people do. In fact, lots of people would be happy to kill off all the bears. And the wolves, too.
I realized he was watching Jericho as he said this. Jericho was heading off across the ranch, pausing now and then to glance back at us.
You think Jericho is one of those people? Summer asked.
I know he is, Evan said.
Melissa added,
There are a lot of members of the ranching community who don't like the bears, or the wolves, because the bears and wolves sometimes kill their cattle, even though it doesn't happen very often.
But the bears and the wolves were here first, Summer said angrily. If you're going to raise cattle on their hunting grounds, what do you expect will happen?
They don't see it that way, Melissa replied. There are community meetings every now and then where people discuss issues with bears and wolves and other carnivores. So it's no secret who's on which side of the issue. Jericho's as anti-bear as they come.
Him and Mr. Perdue, Evan said, which made Melissa look uncomfortable.
Who's Mr. Perdue? I asked.
Zach's father, Evan said. He's the biggest anti-bear guy around.
That doesn't mean Zach's anti-bear, Melissa said quickly.
I never said it did, Evan replied. I'm just saying his father doesn't like the bears.
On the Spooner Ranch, Jericho had stopped walking. He was standing atop a small hill, looking back at us. I couldn't see his face from that distance, but I assumed he was scowling. A phone rang, shattering the silence. Melissa took hers from her pocket, glanced at the caller ID, then answered it.
Hey, she said. What's up?
Then, after a few seconds, she glanced at me and said,
Yes, I'm with him right now.
There was a bit more back and forth, and then she said, "Okay, I'll tell him." She hung up and looked over at me. "That was Jasmine. She has someone she wants you to talk to."
"About what?" I asked.
"Seems like we're not the only ones who've had a purebred bison stolen lately," Melissa reported.
"Who else did?" Evan asked.
"Yellowstone National Park."